Let's go to our next session. We have Carol Rennie Logan here joining us here today. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Okay, so we're going to talk about getting started with Blazor.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know you have a lot to cover, so we'll just get right to it.
Awesome, thank you. Great, so we'll just get started. I'm Carol. I'm a development team lead and I'm a .NET developer at Equator, and I'm in Glasgow, in Scotland, in case you can't tell from the accent. And you can find me on Twitter or on GitHub or on my own blog there. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through how we can create a project using Blazor. So we're going to go through history as a .NET developer, how we, you know, maybe our stack's changed over the last few years. We're going to go into an introduction to Blazor, and then the difference between Blazor WebAssembly and Blazor Server. And then we're actually going to get started on creating that project. So my history with .NET started about MVC. I know for some people, this will be, actually it will be web forms, then it will be MVC, and then so on. But I started with .NET about 7 years ago. So I was lucky, I guess, to jump straight into MVC. But what I've noticed over the last few years is a lot more of my role as a backend developer in .NET has been creating APIs using .NET and web API that are then consumed with single page applications like Angular and React. And I'm sure that that's a pattern that a lot of people have seen over the last few years after, since single page applications have become popular and the kind of features that they allow. So something that has really caught my interest as a .NET developer has been Blazor, because it seems to, at least, give us the best of both worlds, where we can write our .NET code and still have that single page application functionality. So what is Blazor? Blazor is an HTML framework, kind of along the same vein as Angular and React and Vue, and it's used for rendering .NET on the client side using WebAssembly. So the bit that really got me as a .NET developer was this part here. It offers all the benefits of modern front-end frameworks while working entirely in C#. So that entirely in C# bit had me a bit like Drake here. It's like, yes, I don't have to try and keep up with the latest JavaScript framework, and I can do what I know best, and that's right, C#, but have that in the browser. So this is from the Blazor docs, and you can see some of the advantages listed here. And the main one for me, as I said, is we can write C# instead of JavaScript. So as much as a joke about I don't need to look at JavaScript anymore, it's more it lets us choose the right tool for the right task. So even in Blazor, you probably will still write some JavaScript, but it means that you can use .NET and C# when you want to, and you can write JavaScript when you want to. And you can leverage the existing .NET ecosystem and .NET libraries. So for me, that's a big one. We all have the libraries that we know, that we trust, and it means that we can use those in our single page applications. If they're written in .NET standard, it means that we can bring them right over to Blazor and we can use those. We can share logic across the server and the client side. So if it's written in C# and you've already got that code written, then you can write it, you can use it in your Blazor app. And we can kind of have the reliability and the security and the performance that we know that we get from .NET straight into our Blazor app. And it's built on a common set of languages and tools that are stable and easy to use for us as developers as well. So one important question when you're looking at Blazor is it client side or is it server side? There are lots more features coming out, and even on the client side, there's like different hosting strategies and different features that you can add in. But at a very kind of fundamental, simple level, it's kind of client side or it's server side. So on the client side, or in WebAssembly Blazor, you may hear it referred to as, we've got our C# code files and our Razor files are compiled into .NET assemblies. And the assemblies and the .NET runtime are downloaded to the browser. And on the client side, that's where the runtime is bootstrapped and it's configured to load your assemblies into the app. So it uses a JavaScript interrupt to handle the DOM manipulation and any of the API calls that we have to make for any of our functionality. And here's a nice diagram. I can't take credit, taking it right from the .NET docs, but they're pretty good. So as you can see, everything here is in the browser. And you've got your Razor components, you've got your .NET code, and you've got WebAssembly all within the browser, and this kind of dynamic DOM updates happening as and when we need them to. So WebAssembly is something you'll hear a lot when you're looking at Blazor, especially on the client side. And here's a quick description of it. I'll not read the whole thing out to you, but the main thing here, it's an open web standard and supported in modern web browsers without plugins. So it means that we can use .NET straight there in the browser, and WebAssembly is what enables this to happen. And you will hear a lot about the JavaScript interrupt too. So that's, it allows the WebAssembly code to access the full functionality of the browser using JavaScript. And our .NET code is executed via WebAssembly in the browser, and it's using that JavaScript sandbox to allow that to happen. So on the server side, just to have a quick look at the difference between the two, Blazor server side provides support for hosting Razor components on the server of a .NET Core app, and the UI updates are handled using SignalR, which I'll explain a little bit in a second. And the runtime handles sending those UI events from the browser to the server, and it applies the updates as and when they're ready for the components. And again, it uses JavaScript interrupt to allow that communication to happen. So it lets you have that kind of the Blazor single page app type functionality without kind of full page reloads, but it is still actually hitting your server on the back end. So SignalR is ASP.NET SignalR is an open source library that allows that real-time kind of connection to the server and updates of your application to happen instantly. And again, here's a lovely diagram from the .NET docs. And you'll notice the main difference here from the last one is that the browser is kind of off to the side. The DOM's obviously still in the browser there, but the updates to the DOM are happening using SignalR to your server. And what's really good is it's really clever, and it only updates the bits of the DOM that have changed. So it doesn't do a full refresh every time. It doesn't kind of impact performance by trying to render the whole DOM again. It kind of does a diff, and it only updates the bits that have updated and the components that have updated. So we'll jump straight in. And what I want to do is we're actually going to have a look at how do you literally start from the very beginning with Blazor, and what do you get out of the box and the Blazor kind of templates in Visual Studio, and how can we build upon that to create some more functionality. So if you want to do it in the command line, there's two options here. You can do .NET new Blazor WASM, which is an abbreviation that you'll see used for WebAssembly, or you can do .NET new Blazor server. And with either of those, you can, of course, do --help, and you can get some kind of help and information there. But you can also do it through Visual Studio. So you can file new, and you can choose Blazor app there. And what you'll get is you'll actually get the option to do either a Blazor server app or a Blazor WebAssembly app. And within, as I mentioned earlier, there's configurations even between each of those. And for the WebAssembly app, you'll notice that down here, you actually have an option to make that WebAssembly app ASP.NET Core hosted version. And you could also have the option to have progressive web app features. So when you tick that, you get, you know, some service workers, you get some of the functionality that allows for offline applications, for, you know, notifications and that kind of thing to pop up. So there's quite a lot you can get just from these Visual Studio templates. And this is the file structure that you get. So if you do file new in Visual Studio, and this is what it sets up for you. So what I'm going to do is jump out of slides, and we'll jump straight into Visual Studio. So hopefully you all can see that. And as per the screenshot that we just saw, this is what we get. So we have our pages that we'll have a look at soon. We have our shared folder. We have our web root, which is actually, you know, got our CSS and things like that in there. And then we've got a few other bits, and I'll explain how all this works later. But what I'm going to do is show you the application that you get when you create this from scratch Blazor app. So if I do .NET watch Yep. So this will build the app and it'll set a watch, and it means that it will launch the app, it will open the browser soon. And it will I'll put my browser over there. And it will actually watch for any changes that are made, which is cool. So it means we can make changes and have those appear instantly, which is cool. So here's the app that we get. So hello world, what we're used to seeing when we create a new app. And you'll notice there's this component here when you can take a survey. And we've got our nav here, which shows the different places we can go. And the counter, this is the first bit of functionality we really see, and we can look at the code behind. Where if you click that, you'll see it automatically updates here, but you'll also note that there's no post to the server, any kind of refresh on the page. It's happening dynamically and it's just updating there. And we also have this one here, fetch data, which in the background you can't see. You know, that loaded super quick, but in the background it's actually doing a bit of logic to go and get that data. Not quite an API call, but to kind of be a mock API call. So that's the application that we're building and that we get out the box in Visual Studio. And I'm going to give you a tour of how we actually build that. So yeah, as I said, here's where we start with. So we've got our program CS, and this is where it all starts. So we have our app it's added here, rootcomponents.app, and we'll have a look at that. And you'll see that this is WebAssembly host builder. So this shows that it's WebAssembly Blazor. And then you can add in any services that you need. So you have your HTTP client. You'll see where we're going to use that later. But here is where you could inject if you have any of your own services that you want to build and add, or any other third-party ones that you want to use. This is where you can make sure that they're included in your application. So this references the app. So let's have a little look here at the app.razor. So this is where it sets up our router, and you can see it's linked to our program CS there. And what it does is it tells us that the default layout is our main layout. So we can have a look in there, it's within our shared folder. And if we jump in here, we can see this is the main layout that we saw earlier, and on that sidebar was the lovely nav that we saw. And this gives us a bit of an introduction to components and how we can add components into our HTML and how we can use those. So this is our nav menu. So if we jump in here to our nav menu, you can see these are the items that we saw earlier. So these link to pages that we have. We have our home page, we have our counter page, and we have our fetch data here. So if I show you here in the pages that we have. So if we even wanted to change this to hello, and I save that there, we can see that in the background, because we've done .NET Watch, what it does is it actually rebuilds and it will update the application. So that's building in the background there. Hopefully that will refresh just now. Yeah, that's just going to load and it changes to hello. So using .NET Watch means that you can make changes and have them apply instantly in the browser, and it kind of makes the development process a lot quicker. So what we can actually also do, and here's one I made earlier, is I've got a hello.razor, because I'm not very imaginative. So I have added a new page in here you can see how we do routing. So we do at page hello, and we've got a quick message that says hello. So if we do that there, we build that. And what I want to do is I actually want to add it to the nav, right? So that we can get to it from the application easily. So you'll notice here that the href goes to your counter, goes to your fetch data, and this one will go to hello. So that's what links the page routing to how you navigate around within your own code. And this will just be what's shown in the nav there. So if I do a build, and we'll see that updating here within the PowerShell window, and then we'll see it refresh here. Perfect. So now it's here within our nav. We can click hello, and there's our new page. So that's how quickly we can in Blazor get started, and we can add some new pages. And obviously we would not just make it say hello, we would make it have some of our own functionality in there, but I wanted to show just how quick it was to get started in adding new pages. So what we'll also do is let's have a look at some of the functionality that was a bit more interesting than just saying hello. Here's the page where we had the increment count. So it said click me, as you know, and when you click the button, you can see you can use the on click functionality here to then call code. So any of your C# code within a Blazor view is within this at code segment here. And then you'll recognize that this is good old C# that we know. And we can create a method here, increment count, and it, you know, does a +++ on that value that we set up when the page was loaded. So nothing too complex, but I think this is a really good way of showing how you can hook in your .NET code, your C# code, with your markup there. So you can on-click, call that backend code. And that is what makes that, you know, we saw it when we were using the app. Let me open that there. We saw that when we were in the counter, that just updates in there. So we could in there decide to say, you know, we want that to be +2 or +3 or whatever. And that would just, all we need to do is build and it will refresh there in the browser. So one that was quite interesting was here in the fetch data. This is the one that kind of doesn't quite go call an API, but it does a mock of it. So you'll see that there is an if here that while the data is loading, because it has to go and get data, we can put code in to make sure that we show something in the component until the expected state that it can then render the data. Which is kind of what we've come to expect from single page applications. So maybe a bit more old school would be that the page just didn't load until the data was there. What we can do in Blazor is we can have it kind of have placeholder data there. You'll see that there's a table here that's going to show our data. And then when we have the forecasts available, we can loop through them. But the interesting bit is down here. So in the .NET code and the C# code, we can set up our object. We have our object here, and we can, when the page is, so on initialized async is when the page is loaded, it calls this code. So because this has an await and it goes to get that data from here, it's just from a file, but it might be from a URL. So because there's an await there, that's why we can have that section of code here that's until we have that object, just show loading, and then once the object is available and the await has returned that data, then it can load the data on the screen. So one thing I wanted to show is having my C# object defined here in the class, in the code section isn't something maybe that we want to do all the time. Maybe we want that to be a shared object with the backend or from a library. So we can take that out there. And again, here's one I made earlier. I have set this up. What I've done after watching the keynote and some of the other talks about the new features in C# 9 was I've now made that a record just because I wanted to see how it works. So that's now a record. If I include that in my project and go back to my fetchdata.blazor, you'll note that that's got little angry lines under it because it doesn't know where to find that object now. So what this shows is we can just do using and then use my new models folder that I've just added to the project and do a little build there. And our angry little lines will hopefully disappear. So now that that's built, yep, that's then gone now, happy now. That would just built in here. And if we reload our app, our fetch data should still just work as it did. So we've refactored that. We've taken the object now out to a models folder rather than having it right there in our Razor view, but it all just works the same. And it's using some of those new features now. So because you maybe saw in my screenshot when I had, when we were setting up the project, I redone this on Wednesday after .NET 5 came out and after the new version of Visual Studio came out. So this is all using C# 9 and .NET 5. So I was able to use that record, use a record for that object now. And that all worked good. So yeah, so I've now shown how we can use objects from elsewhere. We've shown how we can add new pages and route to those, and generally how we can get started in using Blazor and within Visual Studio, and also using some of the new kind of the .NET Watch functionality. So hopefully that was useful. And you're ready to get started with Blazor, and that will let you know at least how to get the project set up and then how you can now create some of your own functionality. But what I wanted to do is have a little quick look at what I learned. So I've been kind of looking at Blazor since before it was officially released in the .NET Core version when it was still in beta. And some of the things that I've learned, like as a .NET developer, it's really quick to get started because I already know the ecosystem. I already know a lot of the language, obviously, because I'm a C# developer. And even some of the libraries and things like that that you might want to use, I already know those. It's not like, you know, back in the day I switched from Java to .NET and I had to learn all, you know, what library do I use for that? What do I use for that? So at least I know that within the Blazor ecosystem. Updates to the framework were one thing that I had to keep up to date with quite a bit when it was first in beta and then when it was first released. And it only seems like there's a few changes that are kind of big changes to the .NET 5 version, at least. Although I would recommend going and watching the talks from Wednesday, so that there was some really good detail on things like the CSS and JavaScript isolation for components, like seems like a really important feature, and some of the pre-rendering and some of the performance updates in general are really, really cool. So because it's a new framework, it is constantly updating, so you might find that you do even that getting started the file new project in a few months when you do it again, a few bits might have changed, but that's good because it means that things are being updated. And it's constantly growing as a framework. The dev community, I think any new framework, I'm sure you'll agree, even if it's the best framework in the world, if there's no community around it, it's not going to survive. And one thing that I think is really awesome, no pun intended from this example, about Blazor is that there is a really great community there. And Awesome Blazor is a really good example of that. If you go on GitHub, you can see that there are lists and lists and lists of places you can learn Blazor, ways you can use Blazor, and even like some examples of where it's been used in production as well. So I would really, really recommend having a look on there after you've run through the docs, you've done some tutorials and getting started. I would really, really recommend going on to Awesome Blazor. And from a hosting perspective, there are so many different ways you can host it. And as a .NET developer, some of the cool things for me now are even seeing you can host it like on GitHub pages, because you can host it as a static app, as a single page app, which we're not really used to being able to do with .NET code. So that's really cool. And you can, as usual, in Visual Studio, you can click publish and you can see the different options you have to publish your app. You can put it on Azure, you can put it on Docker. And as I say, you can host it as a static site, so you really can. There's some good examples of how you can, as I say, host it as a GitHub page, and you can do, it makes it a lot easier to get started to build, but then also to host it somewhere and to share that with the world. And documentation, a bit like with the dev community point, documentation is so important with a new framework, because to be able to get this far and getting started, I really, really relied on the documentation. And I need to, like, the Blazor team, the .NET team, have done a really good job with the documentation, because if it was hard for me to keep up with all the changes to the framework, it must have been for them too. But like, it always seems to be up to date, and there's a lot of examples, and there seems to be, as I say, even looking at it, say a month ago when I was preparing the talk to again this week, there seems to be more changes and even more information on the docs. So it's really, really awesome. And what I'm really interested in is what's next for Blazor. I think some of the things that I've mentioned there and having a look at it, it's really exciting to see what it can do within web apps, but what I'm really interested in is what's next. And some of the things I've read up on, I've not had the chance to play around a lot with, other than some of the PWA stuff, is where else can we use it? And kind of, as you can see from the examples here, a big part of that is making it not just web applications, but onto mobile too. So there's PWA, which is progressive web apps. So you can have web apps that start to have some of that functionality of native apps on mobile. And there's kind of some really good examples of Blazor Hybrid, where it's kind of a Blazor app, but within a kind of hybrid solution within a native app. And then there's some kind of Blazor native examples as well, where you can see it kind of running straight on Android or iOS, for example. It's really, really cool. And there are some good examples of that on the docs, or even just that some folks have done some playing around and they've kind of published what they've found and what they've built. So it's really, really cool. And a big thing for me will be developer adoption of Blazor. That will be what I'm really looking out for next, to see, is it the framework that we should all be jumping to, or when it's the right one for your project? Because it's really important, as I say, around the developer community. Is the support going to be there? Is it going to be a long-term solution that we're going to now be using, rather than always MVC or web API? Is Blazor what we'll use for new projects? That I think we'll just need to wait and see. But it's been really exciting seeing from the keynote the other day, and from a lot of the Microsoft talks, and from all these community talks too, seeing the really awesome stuff that people are building and what they're sharing. So for me, this will be the big one, is looking out for developer adoption of Blazor, and seeing the cool things that the community builds. And that's it from me. But if you've got any questions, or if you'd like to share the stuff that you're building with Blazor, I'd really, really love to see what other folks are doing too, and to see what's out there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Carol. That was excellent. We do have a bunch of questions from Twitter. So I don't think we'll be able to get to all of the questions, but I'd love to tap into some of them right now. And then maybe you could potentially go and answer those on Twitter afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. So let's go ahead and start with one. Andrea P asks, when should I choose Blazor server instead of a Blazor client, and vice versa?
So there was actually a really good talk. I think it was in UK time. I think it was quite early this morning or late last night, but I think it was by Otto. And he discussed the options of for server and for WebAssembly, the pros and cons of each, because there are pros and cons of each. So I would really recommend, I went and watched it on YouTube this morning because it was on too late UK time.
Yeah. What was the title of that?
Oh, I can't remember now, but
But it was in the stream.
It was literally called Blazor client side versus server side. So yeah, fair. Go and have a look for that on the stream. It's really good to me.
Okay, perfect. So let's go to another question. Christian asks, what are the common pitfalls when beginning to develop with Blazor?
Yeah, I think for me, it was just knowing, hopefully what I've helped show, but it's how it all ties together. It's just, it's a little bit different than what we're used to from our MVC app. So just getting to know how everything all works together. And for me, it was things changing quite a bit, but I think that's because I was first looking at it when it was still in beta. So things were changing. So it was like, hey, who moved that thing that used to live over there and now it lives over there?
Yeah, so some common new product type of
yeah.
Okay, let's see if we can do one more on here. Which grid component do you personally use in Blazor projects? And this question is by Milan.
So I've not used it beyond just some playing around, to be honest. I've not used it with some real life design requirements or anything like that. I've just been kind of having a play around to get to know it as a framework, as a dev lead, to find out is it what I should use for my next project just yet. So yeah, I've not had to decide which kind of grid components to use. I know that in 30 minutes my friend Pranima is giving a talk about components in Blazor, so I would have a look at that talk.
Okay, excellent. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more. I remember that I wanted to ask a particular question. Oh, here it is. Okay. So, but Bardakey, let's try to pronounce that. Does Blazor WebAssembly require the application to be hosted somewhere, or can it use as a local application that runs in the browser?
So it can be hosted statically somewhere. So somewhere when you go to your site, it will kind of download everything. But with the PWA features, it can act kind of local, I guess, if we want to call it that, offline. And so it can act more like an app. So if someone's offline, it can just use the local mode, and they can still use your application using the kind of PWA features.
Oh, great. Okay, so I think that's all the time we have for questions. There are a few more on Twitter, though, so if you have some time, maybe you can head on over there and get those answered. We have our next presenter, but I think we need to take a short video break just to make sure that we're all technically on the same page. But thank you so much, Carol. That was amazing. We really appreciate you taking the time to spend it here with us. This call was recorded. So if you didn't get a chance to watch all of Carol's session, you can go back and watch the stream online.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much, Carol.